In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, St. Paul speaks in the epistle of our life in the Spirit and the necessity of moving away from our old lives by a practice of mortification. The epistle to the Galatians was written to point out to us the importance of depending on our Lord Jesus Christ as the source of our new life in the Spirit. Since our Lord came to fulfill the law, we must seek this freedom in the Spirit that our Lord brings to us by seeking constantly to live in His presence and by constantly turning to Him as children would turn to their parents. In today's homily, let us look in particular at what it means to walk in the Spirit. In the epistle, St. Paul gives us one of his final lessons against those of the first Christians who wanted to live according to the Mosaic law. They were a great source of trouble in the time of the early church. Despite a decision taken at the Council of Jerusalem, where St. Peter clarified that it was not necessary for newly converted Gentiles to go through all the rituals in order to follow the faith of Abraham, some among the converted of Jewish origin felt their loss of influence in this new religion. In order to keep their position, they continued to teach the need of following the Mosaic law of the Old Testament that our Lord had closed and sealed with His precious blood. Therefore, St. Paul points out the consequences of following the law given through Moses. First, he teaches that those who live without any moral law let themselves be driven by their desires and their egoism. However, those who live according to the Mosaic law live under a constant fear of punishment if they wander away from it. This again, however, leads to egoism, where each one thinks only of himself, and also a rigidity of spirit, wherein each one thinks only of how to stay away from possible transgressions of the law. Our Lord, however, came to give us a spirit of liberty, the liberty of the children of God. He taught us to call God our Father, Abba. This is the foundation of our life according to the Spirit. This foundation is the virtue of charity, one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we read in the same epistle to the Galatians. A sign that we have the Spirit in us is the constant rejection of all contention and division that may rise among us in the same community. In this life in the Spirit, our joy will be found in an exact accomplishment of our duties. While it may not seem possible to do our duties calmly and with application all the time, we can be sure that if we ask God for His help with the sincere desire to meet the objectives before us, we will be able to persevere and accomplish them successfully. St. Paul then proceeds to give us a lesson on how to live by the spirit of charity, which shows itself in three ways: in acts of meekness from superiors to inferiors, in acts of charity between equals, and in acts of gratitude from inferiors to superiors. When one who is inferior has fallen into sin, his superior should be willing to instruct him in meekness. Oftentimes, one falls because of some lack of knowledge. Yet at the same time, St. Paul calls superiors to be vigilant as to their own weaknesses, remembering the kindness and patience of God in their own lives. After all, our Lord has told us, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Between equals, the Apostle to the Gentiles calls us to help carry each other's burdens. Through this, it can be said of Christians that truly they love one another. The third and last means of living by the spirit of charity is by making acts of gratitude towards our superiors. Inferiors are called to communicate with their superiors good things as they themselves have received. St. Paul exhorts us here to imitate our superiors as they are imitators of Christ. Here he gives us a warning. We cannot use the excuse that seeing evil in those leading us is an implicit permission to imitate their evil. Our leaders are also human beings. They cannot be without sin. Even the just man sins 7 times a day. So St. Paul is very precise in what he tells us. We must imitate those who lead us in as much as they are imitators of Christ. The epistle of today ends with an exhortation to persevere in the good. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. If we sow in the flesh, we will reap corruption. If we sow in the Spirit, we will reap life everlasting. However, we must persevere to the end to receive our reward. The Gospel today brings forward this point. Our Lord in the city of Nain raised a dead boy from the dead and restored him to his mother. The fathers of the church tell us that this boy symbolizes us, dead by our sinful works. And the boy's sorrowful mother is our Holy Mother Church, who gives life to us through the sacraments. However far we may have gone into sin, St. Paul encourages us to seek recourse in the sacraments and return to doing good work while it is still day. As long as the light shines, it is possible to do good. When the darkness comes, as it will at the end of our lives, all will be finished. Our weaknesses and memories of our past failures can be sources of discouragement to us. We often can, and we often do fail in our duties, both domestic and professional. We can even hide our failures so as to fool all around us. As we see in the present ongoing and difficult situation in the church, the truth can be covered up, often with the help of like-minded people. However, St. Paul tells us, God will not be mocked. Our faith is holy and divine. God sets the standards of behavior that he expects us to meet. Moreover, he knows our weaknesses of character and therefore gives us the help of his grace. As long as we show a desire to renounce our sinful ways and we turn to him regularly, he will not hesitate to help us. We can be sure that as all of us, clergy and laity, will be judged at the end of time by truth and justice himself, those responsible for the present situation in the church and society are sure to be exposed and dealt with in due time. Many things may escape the view of man, but nothing can escape the view of God. God will not be mocked. So let us in our turn examine ourselves to be sure that we are not wanting before God. The hour will come when we reap as we have sown. As in today's post-communion, let us pray for the grace of seeing through the eyes of God. This is far more than seeing that nature is a divine gift. It involves seeing through the eyes of charity. It is seeing through the eyes of the Spirit. When we seek recourse in the sacraments of the Church, we are sure to receive the graces that God wants to give us. Grace is not something that is attached to our souls, as paint is to a wall. Grace is a stable, formal quality of the soul. To understand how it works, we can make an analogy with the body. The faculty of the reason is analogous to the brain, the will to the heart, and virtues to the muscles. Just as the soul is to the body, grace lifts up the soul itself so that it participates in God's divine life. In today's epistle, St. Paul exhorts us to live and walk in the Spirit, to bear one another's burdens, and not to deceive ourselves with an inflated self-knowledge. He warns us that those who sow in the flesh will reap corruption. This is in many ways what has happened in the church and in society. It is only to be expected that such corruption is found here below after so many years of sowing such things. However, if we see as God sees, we will sow in the Spirit. That is, we will orient our efforts to doing things with supernatural principles. Our efforts will be oriented to the service of the Spirit by serving justice in truth and charity. Then we will have eternal life no matter how much we suffer here below. Our Lady told us through the three children of Fatima of the persecutions coming to the church. In the end, she told us, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. So in these tumultuous times, let us turn to Our Lady and pray as we have never prayed before. Every act we make to conform to the teachings of our faith will be made an acceptable sacrifice by our Lord and will help us stay close to Him. Through devotion to Our Lady and through adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, we can speak to our Lord regularly and stay on the straight and narrow path, rejecting our own past sins with which we may have made many compromises. Then, just like the boy of Naim in today's Gospel, our Lord will bring the whole church back to life. With the help of Our Lady, the Mother of Charity Himself, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, may our Lord help us to cooperate with His grace so as to produce in us the fruits of that same Spirit. Charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continence, and chastity. Mater Ecclesiae, ora pro nobis, O Mother of the Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.